This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hump day.
Hey, you big and hairy, dude.
Hold up.
Run, yeah?
Let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty. Pronounced with the Humpty.
This is an NFL Hump Day Roundup with Isaac and Sue.
If y'all ain't excited about this game, you can't get excited about no other games, man.
It's Wednesday. Hump Day with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
The Humpty Dance. Here's your chance to do the Hump.
The Hump.
Deal is in on the text line at 503-250-1080. He says, a neighbor took 20-foot Halloween skeleton and put a Santa outfit on it for the season. Now, I don't know if he's joking, but is that what we're doing now? Maybe hybrid Halloween Christmas decks?
Well, that would be at least more apropos for the season rather than the Halloween deco still being up, Amir.
I mean, that could be a thing, you know, Halloween.
If you have the right structures, make a switch at some point in November. Yeah. Sure.
Or like scary Santa and then take off a couple things and now he's happy Santa for Christmas.
Ooh.
All right, where do we begin? Okay, so I'll give you these numbers. The question is, will any Thanksgiving NFL records be broken? Here they are. Receiving yards on Thanksgiving, the most ever is Andre Johnson.
Okay. Texans?
188, yes. Houston Texans.
188?
Not that many. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's breakable. Okay, you have O.J. Simpson rushing yards, 273.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's got to be like a top 10 total in league history, right? It's got to be somewhere near that.
That's a good question. What is the record for most rush yards in a game in the NFL?
Wasn't it, I think it was like 313 or something like that.
By
it was,
whom?
Well, clock-killing Corey Dillon had it for a while.
Clock-killing Corey Dillon.
Let's find out.
This is people-killing O.J. Simpson.
Oh! Speaking of O.J., did you see how he popped up on the internets in meme comedy this week?
Again?
Yeah.
Is it because of his videos that he puts out?
No. This had to do with an NFL transaction. You see this?
No.
Melvin Gordon, when he was waived by the Broncos, posted a meme that said, "Peace out, Broncos," and it was him driving the white Bronco down the freeway. Melvin Gordon put his face in the white Bronco.
Oh, dear.
I don't know if he totally got the context or he just Googled, like, Bronco and put himself in a Bronco.
Oh.
Or he knew the context and didn't care. And then he said, "In Broncos Nation, y'all been hell," or something like that.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
It's like you've not been good.
Well, he keeps dropping the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of problems there. The last thing they need from you is dropping the ball. Is he too young to even know the OJ Bronco thing?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
That makes me feel old. Sterling Sharp receiving tutties on Thanksgiving. 4. Boy, getting 5 in a game, that's...
By the way, the Juice, 6th all-time rushing game with 273. Number one is Adrian Peterson, 296.
Oh.
Corey Dillon had it at one point with 278.
So nobody's ever gotten 300 rushing yards in a game?
Never.
In the NFL? Huh.
They have in college. I know Melvin Gordon did it.
Yeah, there's a little guy by the name of Tony Sands at Kansas that rushed for like 350 one year. Peyton Manning passing tutties, 6. I don't know. Josh Allen could throw 6 on Detroit tomorrow.
He could.
And most sacks, Cam Jordan. 4.
It's t- tough to get more than four sacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the receiving yards one would be the one that would be the closest to maybe going down. But I don't know, six tutties? Quarterback?
That, I do agree. I think that this, you know, it's the receiving yards or it's the touchdowns. The problem is it to break the record or to tie the record?
Got to break it.
Because you're going to need seven touchdown passes then.
Yeah.
That seems like, I mean, obviously six is already a tall order.
I have one other. Passing yards for a quarterback, this is tough too. 455, even in today's game, 455, Troy Aikman.
That seems more achievable than the touchdowns to me.
Odds-wise, Andre Johnson receiving yards, 5-1. Troy Aikman passing yards, 7-1. But most likely none of them will be broken tomorrow. All right, so we now know what the Cardinals coach did to get fired, the offensive line coach. Is it just me, or do all offensive line coaches look the same?
They often do, yeah.
Most of fat and bald and white.
Yeah, and then usually have some sort of whitish-grayish stubble going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes they're in a backwards hat.
Yeah, think Kavanaugh. Remember Kavanaugh for Oregon State? They all look like him. Well, this guy, whose name I don't remember, it turns out that he was fired for groping a woman Sunday night in Mexico City. We thought we were talking about prostitution, but that's legal down there. So he groped a woman. We don't know the circumstances. He was fired immediately, so obviously it was bad. The cops were called. That was Sunday night. They played the game on Monday, so they sent him on a plane home Monday morning.
Right.
So do you think, the question is, does this get covered on Hard Knocks in season tonight?
So I think that there's not any way they won't mention it, but I also doubt that there will be much footage and or discussion of it. I think it will be addressed. And it won't give us anything of substance that we'll be like, I can't believe we got that. Like, we're not going to get something really juicy out of Hard Knocks tonight.
Yeah, it'll be like a 10-second, oh, by the way, we're putting the offensive line coach on a plane.
Yeah, you're going to get Liev Schreiber saying, like, something along the lines of, and down south of the border, the staff takes a hit down south as well or something. I mean, who knows what he's going to say, but it's going to be something like that just gets narrated into, and that's too bad for them.
And more drama
that
they have to overcome. Well, the other thing, too, is it's so funny, like, as a football fan, we've talked to enough of these coaches over the years that I just feel like they're all workaholics. But you forget, you know, we just assume these guys are watching film at all times or, you know, color-coding their play sheet or whatever. Yeah, they're not. Apparently in Mexico City, they're out groping ladies.
Yeah, and I guess the incident got reported to Mexican authorities, and the Mexican authorities immediately reported it to the Cardinals.
Yeah. I don't know. There's probably more to it.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, if this were 1950. You know.
What would happen if it were 1950?
Oh, two quarterbacks benched. Jets have benched Zach Wilson in favor of Mike White, not Joe Flacco. I believe if you have watched Zach Wilson at all, it is actually hard to comprehend how bad he is. It really is. What is that stat you had? Yards per play?
Yes.
For the Jets in the second half of that game?
In the second half against the Patriots, the Jets averaged 2.77 inches per play. Not yards. Inches.
Inches. Wow. So if you've watched Zach Wilson, you know that he's awful. And I mean just extra level awful. Now, they did, in his defense though, they went 5-2 with him as the starter. Joe Flacco started the first three games, and they were 1-2 in those games.
And their offense had a little pop, actually.
Yeah, well, they beat Buffalo. It's not like they just beat all these bad teams. He played much better in the Buffalo game, I thought. I forget the game the week before. Maybe it was New England the first time, but he was just, it was New England the first time. He is, boy, it's not just that he's bad, and he is really bad. It's that, and Saleh even said this, it's this thing of not accepting responsibility. They asked him, you played the clip yesterday, but
yeah,
do you think you let the defense down with your play? And he said no. And apparently Robert Saleh came out and addressed that and said, yeah, there's some guys not real happy about that.
Yeah, so you don't have to say, you don't have to go out there to the press and say, I sucked, I was dog-ass, you know, whatever. But you can say, we're real disappointed with our effort today. That, like, every loss stings, and when the defense plays like that, it hurts to not pick them up. I mean, it's not hard to do that.
No, and it's not only that, but it's very weird to say no.
Like, yeah.
Dude, boy, that says a lot about you. All you just
he was annoyed and yes. defensive.
Of course you let the defense down. Hello? But it is amazing that they are 6-4. I mean, is that not a testament to Robert Saleh and the job he's doing? They are 6-4 with Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, and Mike White.
I think he's going to be very successful. Robert Saleh, that
is. Yeah, I like Saleh. Now, which team would be better with a good quarterback? Jets or Seahawks?
Wait, are you implying the Seahawks don't have a good quarterback already?
Right. I went the same place you did in my head. I'm like,
wasn't he the NFC player of the month start the season?
That doesn't mean Geno's not good. I mean, franchise guy. It's probably the Jets, right? Because
yeah,
Geno's
way
better than Zach Wilson.
Well, and you're also just I feel like they're in slightly different spots because Geno feels like a bridge to me, whereas like a bridge to the next guy, whereas Wilson's supposed to be the guy. So if he's not, I mean, I think you could win with Geno in Seattle sooner than you could win with Wilson or another. I guess I don't know what your options are to pick up in New York, if you have to draft somebody or if you can sign somebody. But I think that personnel-wise, the Jets are actually pretty good outside of the quarterback position, or at least they're maybe...
Yeah, well, so would Seahawks.
Yeah.
Better
Seahawks doing it with a lot of youth, though.
And both had good drafts.
Yeah, they did. They've both got a lot of youth that's contributing, which is, how you win under new eras or in transition times.
The Texans have benched Davis Mills. Insert Kyle Allen. So if I came on here and said Sam Allen and Kyle White were starting Sunday, would anyone know the difference?
Probably not. I was also going to say that if you said that Mike White was starting for the Texans and Kyle Allen was starting for the Jets, no one would bat an eye either.
Exactly.
Could you tell me? I thought about this for a while. Do you know where Mike White went to college? Could have given me 25 guesses. I wouldn't have got it.
Oh. No, I don't.
South Florida. I don't remember it at all.
Okay.
I also don't remember him being on the Cowboys, but he has played in some NFL games.
He played for the Jets last year, and didn't he have like one of those big, you know, Suk loves to just drop a deuce right on these, but every once in a while the backup quarterback comes in and he gives the team a shot in the arm and throws for 400 yards. I remember that happened with... who was the Niners guy? Nick Mullins with the Niners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Niner guy. Remember that?
That was after CJ. They moved on from CJ Beathard to Nick Mullins.
Yeah. Excuse me. CJ Beathard.
That's right.
Please. Yeah, White, I think, had one of those games last year where we were like, oh, look at this guy. Well, he's back in there. I don't know why I think it's weird that they don't put Joe Flacco in there.
Not
bad.
So that's what I was thinking. Because that's why I asked about Mike White. I'm like, so I don't even know who this guy is. And not that... Obviously, he's the younger player that they're going to go with, but I feel like this team, especially because Wilson hasn't been exhibiting any leadership or accountability, like you need a guy who's done that and can demonstrate that, and you know you have that in Flacco.
Yeah. Flacco's not. I mean, I don't know. Somebody asked, if you flipped Geno Smith and Zach Wilson, are the team's records flipped also? Well, they have about this. Don't they have the? They have the same record, don't they? Are they both 6-4?
Oh, they are both 6-4. So yes,
yes,
they are.
The answer is they would be flipped. Yeah. So look, and we have another one too. So Kyle Allen, I don't know. Kyle Allen was that guy who also had a little bit of backup quarterback magic with Carolina several years ago. Carolina has switched quarterbacks. They are now moving off of Baker Mayfield and going to Sam Darnold. So I read this since 2019. The Panthers have averaged a new starting quarterback every 5 games. It has gone from Cam Newton to Kyle Allen, Will Greer, Teddy Bridgewater, PJ Walker, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, PJ Walker, Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, PJ Walker, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold.
Man.
Pretty good list.
A lot of ping-ponging with Baker and PJ and Sam.
Yeah, and Teddy Bridgewater was in there a couple times.
Who is...
And Cam Newton twice.
Who has the most separate stints as starters? PJ Walker? How many times?
Walker.
Yeah.
Let's see. How many times did I say Walker?
It sounded like about 7.
3 times. 2 times for Cam Newton, 2 times for Teddy Bridgewater. We had a Kyle Allen and a Will Greer. We have 3 Sam Darnolds. So this is his 3rd time getting the job back. Baker twice, and PJ three times. Sean Payton reportedly monitoring two coaching jobs. We'll tell you what those jobs are when we return. It's our NFL Hump Day Roundup, 416 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, we're humping Sukasik, so it's Buck and I in the news is next. We will rob the bank. I do have Suk's picks if you want to hear what Suk has going. I have those. He texts them to us, and so we'll get those out at 5:30. Sean Payton, a couple of other newsy items today. Sean Payton reportedly monitoring two coaching jobs as he's sitting on the sideline. He's been doing a pretty good job in the media. I've seen him on Colin's show, and I've... You know, he's in this, one of the studios, I think, maybe the Fox studio for some games. He's good.
Yeah, no, he is.
He does a good job. The two jobs that he is monitoring are the obvious ones because the two that have a quarterback. One is the Chargers and the other is the Cardinals. Now, if either of those teams get Sean Payton, they would have to work out a deal with the Saints because he's under contract for two more years, but... Boy, I think he is a... I mean, I don't think Staley has done enough to get fired with the Chargers. But if you have a better option, like Sean Payton sitting out there, I would make a move. It'd be a little cold-blooded, but I think that the fit of Sean Payton with Justin Herbert and the Chargers is tremendous. The Cardinals one is interesting. I don't know that I'd want any part of Kyler Murray as a coach.
Precisely my thought. I mean, I think if you're Sean Payton and you're weighing those two situations against each other, one is clearly better than the other, except I don't know what dealing with ownership and management in the Chargers office is like. I mean, I know you have you know,
Spanos.
The Spanos family, so I don't know if that is a turnoff for people, but personnel and football-wise, you'd think that's a better situation because I don't know who wants to coach Kyler right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a good debate. Without knowing the details, which would you rather have? The problem of a quarterback like Kyler Murray or the problem of an owner like Dean Spanos?
Good question.
It's probably the latter. Especially because Kyler, you know, for all his faults, he is pretty good. I think the Sean Payton thing, though, because he was so in love with Taysom Hill... I wonder if the Kyler Murray, just his ability to move around and his legs, make that more attractive to Sean Payton than, say, Justin Herbert with the Chargers. Although I've always kind of thought, and look, you don't want to get your quarterback killed in the NFL. I think Herbert could run more. We saw that more at Oregon.
Yeah, I think that what the difference is, like, I still don't think you're going to call a lot of designed runs for Herbert the way you...
No.
But, like, I don't really think you should be for Kyler. I think both those guys can keep a play alive with their legs, and both of them can pick up a first down if they need to.
Well, I feel like Murray can... There is an element of him where you just let him do whatever the hell he wants.
Sure.
If he can squeeze out of it, then
yep.
Let him do it.
Yep.
You wouldn't do that with Herbert, but it's kind of like how Rodgers used to run. You know, Rodgers never really... He doesn't really tucks and runs anymore, but it was always a last resort, but he could still move a little, and I think that's... You just never see really Herbert doing that. Although,
right.
That's not true. I saw a couple of them the other night. They were playing
well against the Niners. He ran for one that he almost took an ugly blow to the head, or it looked like an ugly blow, and the guy got ejected for it.
Yeah, you're right. And he does, and he'll have a tendency to put his shoulder into somebody too.
He broke his collarbone like that in college. He was diving for the goal line for the Ducks one of the years he was injured.
Yeah, but I just think if you got a quarterback that even Herbert, who you want him throwing the ball, he can run. I think you got to utilize that maybe a little bit more. Kyler's a whole different animal. So I wonder, it'd be interesting to get in Sean Payton's head. What about the Colts? you know, the Colts could end up getting a pretty good draft pick and then get a quarterback, and you could take over that team. Again, ownership, I don't know, but they have a decent roster. What about the Raiders if you're Sean Payton? Sounds like Derek Carr may be out of there. What about the Broncos if you're Sean Payton? You might not want to even touch that.
Man.
I got to tell you, man.
This sounds like a future poll question. If Sean Payton has his pick, which franchise is the best fit?
See, I would go...
Or if you had your pick to coach a franchise, which one would you want to go
to?
Well,
I would choose the Chargers.
I think I would, too. I think the quarterback means the most right now.
But that Cardinals situation, very interesting. Very intriguing. I got to tell you, man, that Nathaniel Hackett, there is no way to judge this. He is the worst coach I have ever seen.
Wow.
Dude, he is so bad.
That's a hell of a claim, though.
He is so bad. Give me a... Who is the worst coach you've ever seen? Like, when you watch them, and it's week to
I
week.
Don't have to go much further than Jim Tomsula, who got a full year with the Niners.
Fair. Also had a bad team, though. Chip Kelly had that same team, and he went 1-1.
Right. I mean, yeah, Chip also wasn't good, but...
Yeah.
Man, Chip was just stubborn and didn't have personnel. Tomsula was in over his head.
But I also feel like Tomsula wasn't a coach that they hired to do anything. It was just...
He was a coach to take marching orders. He was a D-line coach with a headset.
Hackett, they hired, like, this is our guy. He is so bad. He gave up play calling. So what are we at, week 11? He's already given up play calling duties because he sucks at it. He's terrible at game management. That's bitten him in the ass a couple times. He gives up play calling duties, and they still only score 16 points. I'm not sure how you would ever measure it, but Nathaniel Hackett might be the worst coach I've ever seen.
I'm trying to look up other lists of worst coaches just to see if anything hits. Urban Meyer is listed.
Very good.
Bobby Petrino.
Very good.
Who left his team in the middle of the season with a fax? Didn't he send a fax or something?
No, Joey. Have you heard Joey tell that story?
I have, but not for years.
It's great. Yeah, Bobby Petrino was a mess. Joey Harrington was on that team, and he had no business coaching men in the NFL.
It didn't sound like it. You know what? One I did think of, Hugh Jackson, has been pretty miserable for a couple different franchises, Browns and Raiders both.
That's right. Didn't he win like two games with the Browns?
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, they're all bad. He had bad rosters.
With the Browns, Hugh Jackson, I don't know how he got this many games. 336-1.
Yeah, 336-1, right.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and they were, you know, some of that's not his fault. Bad teams, bad rosters. Like, the Broncos have one of the best defenses in the NFL, man.
But so
and
you
they
think,
have Russell Wilson.
So you think if they gave Paul Hackett 3 years, he could get to 336-1?
You mean Nathaniel Hackett.
That's what I meant, yes.
And yes, Paul Hackett
could get
to 336-1. And I am so biased about this. Paul Hackett was in Kansas City as the OC when I was there, and oh my God, did he draw the ire of the fans. He was awful, and now it's no shock to see his son be awful. What do the Hacketts, do they have naked pictures of somebody? They're a joke.
So this question from the text line, are we sure Hackett is that bad, or has Russ regressed so much that we aren't willing to admit it?
No, we are willing to admit Russ has regressed. There is no question. And when I said he has Russell Wilson, that's not exactly a good thing.
Oh, right,
Russ
right.
is terrible right now. He holds on to the ball too long. He has not been the same since the injury. That said, watch their offense. I mean, it is...
It's abysmal.
It is abysmal. And then watch his decision. Last week, they were playing the Raiders. And the Raiders were driving down. And they lost again, by the way. What are they, 3-7?
Oh, are you talking about the timeout situation?
Yes.
Oh, my God, it was
bad.
Dude,
he is a moron. So, listen, the Raiders are driving down for the game-tying field goal or game-winning touchdown. Last minute or so. It was within the last minute. And the Raiders complete a long pass, and so it's now first down, and they're running down the field to spike the ball.
Yeah.
So it will be second down instead of first down. Mm-hmm. They are giving up a down to stop the clock, mm-hmm. and Nathaniel Hackett called a timeout.
Yeah. And when his team had the ball with, I think, two timeouts and 1:40 to play, and they were put in a running situation, they chose not to run and to try to hold the timeout, and then they were going to like play for overtime after giving it away. And I'm like, what? What are you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What are you doing?
What what are we doing?
I mean, he messed it up on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, he's off. He is an idiot. New fun game before we go. Is their season over? There's a lot of teams on this list, by the way. We'll start with the Rams. Yes.
What's their record?
I should probably have the standings up, shouldn't I? They are 3-... Hold, please.
Yeah, I think their season's over.
I think they're done. They're 3-7. They can't.
They're done.
They
yes.
can't score.
If they were, if somehow they were 4-6, I might have held off on saying they're done, but they're done.
I think they're done just by the look of them.
I would agree with that.
The Packers, 4-7. I feel like they're done.
Yeah.
They're not like the Bucks. I think the Bucks are 5-5 and waffling, but they're getting it together a little bit. Packers
Although,
are done.
But here's the thing. To get into that seventh spot, you'd only need... I mean, the teams ahead of you are Seattle, Washington, Atlanta, and Detroit. They don't exactly scare you. I mean, if you can go off on a run... I think Seattle's going to get in the playoffs. But those other teams ahead of them, Washington, Atlanta, Detroit, I'm not confident that they stay around 500 if the Packers can somehow string together a couple. But again, with what we've seen, what's to indicate they're going to string a couple together?
Well, that win over Dallas was pretty big.
You're
right. That's
really big.
They may be hanging by a thread, but they're 4-7. Cardinals?
Done.
I think they're done.
They're cooked.
Browns? They get Deshaun back next week.
They're done.
Or is it this week?
No, they're too far out of it. They're 3 full games outside of the 7th spot. They're 3-7.
Yeah, cooked.
They're done.
Steelers.
Same as the Browns.
Don't count them out.
I think so.
What about the Colts? They play the Steelers this week.
God, honestly,
that Philly lost,
if
man.
The Colts, they should have beat Philly.
Yeah.
They should have beat
and
Philly.
And you know what?
They had no business doing it, and they should have done it.
People forget this, too, and I remember this because I had money on it. But the Colts, so they have 2 losses on a last-second touchdown.
Yeah.
Washington was the other one. Taylor Heineke pulled some magic out of his ass and beat them. If they win those 2 games, Philly and Washington, completely different story.
And one of the most winnable games of the football season for either team involved in it was the tie between the Broncos and the Colts where no one could do anything.
That's right.
They could have easily taken that one, too.
Oh, you're so right. Yeah, that's why we love the NFL, man. It comes down to minuscule things. Like, look at the Raiders. Like, as bad as they've been, aren't they all 1-score losses? Are they done?
I think there's one that isn't, but the problem is they've blown 3 17-point leads.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a bad team. I think they're done. 3-7. Broncos, season done? 3-7? With that coach, it is. Saints, they suck, right?
Let's see.
4-7? Yeah, 4-7. And Dude, they're only a game and a half back in the division.
See, that's the thing, is that their division is still winnable.
Dennis Allen sucks, too. That's another... Nathaniel Hackett... My ire would be directed at Dennis Allen if I cared more, but instead it's Nathaniel
Yeah, Dennis Allen's not a good coach. There are other people that should have gotten a shot in New Orleans.
Exactly. And then what about the Bears? Bears done? 3-8. Yeah,
the Bears are dead last in the NFC. I will say they are done.
Oh, they are dead last in the NFC.
Them and the Panthers, both the only 2 teams that are 3-8 in the NFC.
Damn. All right, there's your Hump Day Roundup. We'll get to In the News coming up next. If this doesn't tell you kids are idiots, I don't know what does. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Sports correction. In the interest of accuracy, we need to report to you that the Colts did not tie the Denver Broncos. The Colts actually won that game.
That's right.
In overtime.
It looked like it was going to be a tie.
It probably should have ended in a tie. That was one of the worst games of all time.
Yeah.
12-9. The tie that the Colts had was even worse. It was with Houston, the opening game.
That's right. I think they were down 20-0 and came all
tied.
The way back,
yeah.
And then they just no one scored again.
Dude, can we just, real quick before we get to In the News, can we just talk about how the Colts are having one of the strangest seasons in NFL history?
Oh, absolutely.
So they go out, so they are pretty good last year, but then they crap the bed at the end of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go out and they get Matt Ryan. Everybody's like, oh my God, the Colts, they're going to be pretty good.
They just crapped the bed, remember? All they had to do was beat the Jaguars and couldn't
do
it.
Yeah. And they lost that game to the Raiders. Like, they should have been in the playoffs. They go out and get Matt Ryan. Everybody's high on him. They tie Houston. They get blown out by Jacksonville. And then they beat Kansas City. What? And then 2 weeks later, they play that game against Denver where we're all just stunned that they both suck, 12-9. And then they fire their coach, hire some dude from ESPN,
mm-hmm.
and then they almost beat the best team in the NFL.
Oh, and by the way, that guy from ESPN who joined them in the middle of the week wins his first game and then almost beats the best yeah. team in the league.
Dude, my Colts. All right, moving on. It is November 23rd, 2022. Time now for In the News. I'm your newsman. Hello. Thank you. Carbon neutral. Thank you. Big Sook is sick today, if you're just tuning in. today is, of course, one of the biggest drinking days of the year, as we were talking about earlier in our broadcast. It is called Drinksgiving, or Drinksmas.
I think Drinksgiving clearly makes more sense here.
Well, you would think.
I mean, Drinksmas yeah. probably got to go to a different day for that.
But what day would that be? Would that be the day before Christmas?
I mean, that's Christmas Eve. Would Drinksmas be the 23rd?
This day could also be referred to as Blackout Wednesday, not to be confused with Black Friday.
Oh, I've heard it called Blackout Wednesday. In fact, my brother, very much part of the Blackout Wednesday, one year notoriously coming home from college.
Oh, dear. Now, what are your favorite scenarios in which to drink?
Wow. What, I mean, yeah. Given any to choose from?
It's a big question. Yes, because I think, yes, not all drinking is created equal, although drinking is delightful, as long as we can all do it in moderation, right? What scenario? Like, I love golf. I really don't drink when I play golf.
So, and I do like to drink when I play golf, but I'm competitive enough I don't want to totally lose the edge.
But is that your favorite drink?
No, what I was going to say, I think some of the best drinking is immediately post-golf. When you're tired from playing golf.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
19th hole.
Yeah, that's golf. What I'm saying. 19th hole is peak drinking, especially with the right weather, a patio, the right time of day.
Well, I don't want to sound bougie, but one of my favorite things is a nice glass of wine paired with great food.
There you go.
At dinner. So okay. That's one. What about tailgating?
So that was going to be next on my list, and I'm embarrassed I wasn't going to say tailgating, but just specifically with a sporting event.
Any sport.
I love to have a cold draft beer with a sporting event and buddies.
Right. Or just at your house. What about pool drinking? Pool drinking is great.
Pool drinking's excellent.
What about yard work drinking? Down with that?
I am down with that. It's a little bit more challenging because usually you need a hand to drink and two hands to do the yard work. And so that can be, I mean, you can have it off to the side, but
it's not as satisfying for you.
No.
Shower beer. Some people do the shower beer.
I have done the shower beer.
I've never done that.
I like the shower beer.
Can I give you one, though, that comes to my mind? I don't ski much anymore.
That was my favorite shower beer, was post-ski or snowboard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
The best shower beer.
That first beer or drink coming off the ski slope.
It's awesome.
There is something really special about
different.
That drink. Yeah. So it's Drinksgiving. Drink away.
Now imagine that first drink off the slopes in your shower.
Yeah, but there's something about the grime and being able to just sit down and relax.
I know what you mean. Your boots. Like fire pit and yes. all the stuff still yes. on. Yeah, yeah.
And the night is young.
Yeah.
Well, if this doesn't tell you kids are idiots, I don't know what does. We've been professing that here for years. We had a prank caller from a kid who reported a shooting at Heritage High School on Tuesday morning. I mean, come on, man.
Not
read the room, bro.
Yeah, I was gonna say not the climate for that, man.
Well, that's just why kids are—they just—they're just in their little kid bubble.
Yeah,
morons. So there was no threat. If you're just hearing about this, no threat at Vancouver's Heritage High School. This was this morning. It was fake news. Came in at 8:23 a.m. Someone claiming to be a teacher in the school said 7 students had been shot, and I'm sure some dip-ass kid is sitting there thinking that's funny.
Oh, I'm sure.
But hopefully they find him and scare the living daylights out of him. What else do I have for you here? Oh. Let's get you an update on the Idaho stabbing deaths.
Yeah, I've been waiting for one because there have been shockingly few updates about what's going on there.
It's very eerie that they don't really have much of anything.
Or if they do, that they haven't really given the public yeah. much of a chance to help.
Right. So the latest is the authorities came out and said that there were hundreds of pieces of information about one of the girls having a stalker, one of the victims having a stalker.
Okay.
But they came out today and said they have not been able to identify a stalker. They had hundreds of leads and they have not found that person had a stalker.
That's kind of strange that there would be that many leads and yet no
right
proof that that's the case.
So right now, if you don't know the story, it's four college kids at the University of Idaho out drinking, come home 1:30.
Four kids were not together, by the way.
Right.
Two pairs.
Right. But they were both out.
Yeah.
And they come home, and all four end up dead, stabbed in their beds, discovered by two other kids in the house who were not harmed.
But were home. Yeah. It was a big house, six-bedroom house.
Yeah. Found, you know, one of them was unresponsive, or maybe they were knocking on the door. We don't know. But that's who called the police, and they have nothing. So they are more than a week after the killings that took place November 13th.
Yeah.
And they have no suspect, and they have no weapon. And that town has about 25,000 people.
And they know what the weapon was. It was like a 7-inch K-Bar Rambo blade.
Right.
Yeah.
Very wild story. And very eerie and scary. All right. You gonna watch the parade tomorrow? You big parade guy?
I'm not a big parade guy.
Nor am I.
Although,
do people still go to that?
I think they do.
Did COVID kill the parade or no? I guess it's outside.
Yeah, it is outside. Cold might kill the parade. That's the thing. I don't know who in their right mind wants to be in like windy, blustery New York City at like
Hallelujah. This
time of year at that time of day. No, thank you.
How about bringing more bears to the North Cascades?
Sure.
I also have a story here. How Portland's crime rates compare to other cities. Would you like to hear that?
Oh, I think a lot of people would like to hear that.
You're a noted newsman. I'll bring that to you next. It is 4:47. I'm a fan. All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. Some news today. A couple of quarterbacks bench. We have a baseball move. Blazers are in action. World Cup scores. All of that's next. We will have Rop in the Bank at 5:30. One other topic I wanted to get to next hour. Might the Ducks be looking for a new offensive coordinator this offseason? I want to talk about Kenny Dillingham. But right now, right meow, in the news, Suka's not here. He is sick. Very, very sick. Actually, he's not. But you know what I told him? I said after yesterday's show, he powered through yesterday, and I was like, man, just stay home tomorrow, you know? And I'm doing that selfishly because I don't want to get sick. Although this new studio is much bigger than our old studio. The old studio is the one where he gave me COVID. And I've become a little bit of a germaphobe now that I'm a little Howie Mandel-ish post-COVID. And it's not like I'm crazy weird about it. I want to do my best to not get sick as often as possible. And I feel like people need to be more respectful of other people when they're sick. So I don't know why people go to work when they're sick. Now, there's some people that have to with their job. I get it. But this job, we don't. So let's not try to be a hero.
Yeah,
stay
I don't know.
Home.
I think there's this weird... I think we're starting to break out of it as a society, but I think there's this weird kind of overwhelming societal expectation to like be loyal and power through and like...
I know.
You owe it to your coworkers and whatever. Like, you don't owe getting them sick for sure, but I feel like for decades there was this notion that you're supposed to try.
100%.
You know?
100%.
And that is shifting.
We need to rethink that. And I think COVID has helped us rethink that. I don't know. I think he said he has a cold. But at the same time, it's just like, oh, man. Just Thursday's Thanksgiving. We're off tomorrow. Just, you know, stay home. Don't get us sick, man.
Yeah, precisely.
You son of a bitch. So far...
Also, Suk was just ill-equipped to actually speak on the radio. He couldn't speak.
Yeah, he says he doesn't have a voice. All right, where was I? How Portland's crime rates compare to other cities. This from KGW.com. This is where the Rose City ranks among 40 other markets in per capita murders, assaults, and robberies.
Okay, buckle up.
Yes, exactly. Because we, in our little bubble here, we think, oh my God, crime is out of control. These stats compiled by American City Business Journals. I guess they own the Portland Business Journal. And it suggests that Portland, in an aggregate of three key metrics, is roughly average in terms of major crimes. So, like I said, 40 markets were studied here. Among those, Portland is 21st in per capita crime. They examined where Portland ranks among the markets in per capita murders, assaults, and robberies. Then after adding those rankings, organized them from lowest, less per capita crime, to highest. They further compared the first 6 months of this year and the same period in 2021. And in Portland, murders during that time were down. We are a +7 right now in the murder tote board, while the number of aggravated assaults dropped as well. However, as we've been seeing in our neighborhoods and in our communities, the number of robberies locally has risen dramatically. They said from 488 between January and July of 2021 to 737 this year. So that's, you know, I mean, damn near double. Well, not quite double, but 35% more?
Yeah.
Overall, robberies were up in 29 of the 40 cities. Murders rose in 16 cities, while aggravated assaults were higher in 20 areas and lower in 20 other spots. So we're not doing that bad.
So, yeah, I think it's always a relative thing. Like, you're... The people who live here are never comparing themselves to, like, I don't know, Cincinnati or what. I mean, so...
Well, what we're comparing ourselves to is old Portland.
Right.
Which was, like, utopia.
Of course.
And nothing bad ever happened.
So the biggest thing is not comparing apples to oranges, but apples to older apples.
Yeah, I think... I've told this to several people, you know, because I have family and friends in other states, and they're always just like, oh, my God, what is going on there? Oh, my God. It's got to be so horrible. I'm like, brother, it's a city. And it's been a great city. It still is a great city. It's just, it has city problems just like any other city.
And because it was a city that probably had so few city problems, like big city problems for so long, it's the same stuff that San Francisco has been dealing with for years.
That's right. There are places you now don't go. The cool thing about Portland used to be that you'd go anywhere and not really worry about anything.
Right. And now there are spots you want to avoid, potentially. Yeah,
it's iffy now, but that's like any other city. So... Fake news. Well, I mean, not really fake. Not totally fake, but come on, man. Still a great place here. There's your In the News, November 23rd, 2022. When we come back, we'll get to the Hot 5 at 5. A lot to discuss. I want to talk about Kenny Dillingham. I don't know if he'll take the Arizona State job. I guess I want to ask the question, is that a great first job? I don't know. Does it set you up to fail and then you never get another good crack? Or is that an excellent first job because he's like 32 years old and it's already a Power 5 job at a pretty big school? I don't know. We'll talk about that, and then we'll have Rop in the Bank picks against the spread next hour as well. It is 4:56 on the Fan.
Hey, we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.